According to the curriculum, there will be 15 hours to study the book of Isaiah. How many chapters are there in the Isaiah? 66, right? Yeah, very good in mathematics. So each class we have to study how many chapters? 4 to 5 chapters. So you have to be well prepared, otherwise you will get lost. Because so many teaching in the book of Isaiah. And I believe you all have been prepared, right? Because the curriculum has been sent to you for quite a long time. So during the class, I assume that you already read the book of Isaiah, and I assume you have some basic Bible knowledge. Based on this assumption, we study the Isaiah together. But if you cannot catch up, you get lost. You can ask the help from counselor, or you can ask me after dismiss. Okay. Each hour, remember, each hour, 5 chapters. We have to go through very quickly. And after go through all the books, then we are going to sum up the book of Isaiah into several important topics and study in depth. We are going to study some theological issue after you are familiar with all the chapters, so that you will know what we are talking about. First, let us refer to there was a leaflet hand out. A0. A0. A0 can be placed before A1. And there's another one called The Essential Teaching of Isaiah. Can insert after A6. And this class will be different from so-called graduate class. They have to prepare, they have to report and discuss during the class. But we have so many people, so we do not do that way. And the counselor will give you a question for test to decide, determine how much you have learned in the book of Isaiah. Okay. The book of Isaiah, the A0 is the historical setting and the approximate date of the prophet. Why it is necessary for us to learn this? We just start from chapter 1. Because without knowing historical background and approximate date, when you study the book of Isaiah, you may understand the spiritual teaching. However, if you read the text, you may not know what this is talking about. But actually, the whole book of Isaiah based on the historical setting in the time of Isaiah. So if we understand the historical setting and you come back to read the Bible, you find it is more interesting. Because you can relate it, the incident we are talking about to the history in the time of Isaiah. Okay. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. If you know, you just answer in a few seconds. Who succeed King Solomon as a king? Jehoboam or Roboam? Two different answers, right? It's the Rehoboam, right? Roboam, huh? Okay. And how come the kingdom split into two countries?
What is the main reason the kingdom split into two countries? Huh?
Uh-huh. Okay, mainly because the people demand to lessen the burden of paying the tax. Rehoboam has a young advisor, and he consults with his father's advisor. The father advisor say, if you treat them well, they will support you as a king forever. But the younger advisor advised him, you have military power. He just told them, if you don't want to listen, we are going to suppress you with a might, military power. So later on, the rebellion of the people caused the division of the country. The northern country is Judah, right? No? The northern country is Judah, right? Some yes, some no. How about the southern country? Israel, right? Oh. The northern country is Israel, and the capital is in Samaria, right? And the southern country is Judah. The capital is in Jerusalem. So this is some basic geographical knowledge and historical background. Okay. And the northern kingdom, in the king of Hosea, in the 721 BC, before Christ, the northern kingdom was destroyed, and the people was under captivity by whom? Assyria, right? So the northern kingdom just finished, disappeared from the history. However, the southern kingdom was under captivity in the year of 536 BC. Not 536 BC. 536, yes, the captivity. 606, 606 BC. Jerusalem conquered and burned. At that time, the Israelites started to be under captivity. The southern kingdom, it seems, been destroyed. And the time of Isaiah, you look into the right column, the time of Isaiah, he has some contemporary prophet together with him. One is Amos, one is Hosea, one is Micah. Let me ask you some brief question to see how much you can understand the Bible. Can you remember the most famous verse in the book of Amos? Most famous. Any verse in the Amos? In the last days, there will be famine, right? People hunger not because they don't have bread, right? They are thirst not because they don't have water, but because of what? Lacking the words of God. This is Amos, a prediction of the spiritual famine is going to come. How about Hosea? What was the most striking story in the book of Hosea? God commanded the prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute in order to symbolize that even though Israelite was like a prostitute, but God still loved them. God wanted them to return to him. Okay. How about Micah? Can you remember one of the verse? One important point of Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, right? What does the Lord require of you? What? How many points? To yourself, and then your attitude to others, and then your attitude to God. What's that? To yourself is to do the justice. How about to others? To show the mercy. How about to God? Walk humbly with God. That's it, Micah. So I ask you the few questions. Try to refresh your memory. Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah. They are the contemporary prophet. Can you remember one of the famous verses in the book Isaiah? Quite a few, right? Take root downwards, bear fruit upward, right? This is Isaiah, right? By returning and rest, you shall be what? By returning and rest, you shall be saved, right? Okay. By trusting, and tranquility shall be your strength. These are very beautiful promise of the Lord, very important verses in the book of Isaiah. So this is, and Isaiah was serving as a prophet approximately 745 BC to 695 BC. So he served as a prophet around how many years? 50 years. Quite long. Now we look into the central column about the king when Isaiah was serving as a prophet. Uzziah, right? When was Isaiah being called to be a prophet? When Uzziah passed away. He was called as a prophet. And another king is succeed Uzziah is Jotham. And the next one is Ahaz. Right? Ahaz, there are quite a few things happen in the king of Ahaz. Right? In the northern kingdom, have a joint force with Syria, try to attack Ahaz. And then come to the king of Hezekiah, Shishijah, the king of Hezekiah. The most famous story happened in the king of Hezekiah. What can you remember? Hezekiah, what can you remember? What happened to him? When you think about Hezekiah, can you think about anything? He asked for 15 more years, right? Actually, he did not ask for how many years. He just want God to heal him. And God gave him 15 years. And what is the sign God giving him 15 years? The sun, right? Move back 15 scale, right? It's not easy, right? It's not easy. 15. The sun, move back 15. How can it be possible for human being? Isaiah had been serving Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So this is as an approximate historic background. And in the prophet, you can see some foreign country. Assyria, Yasu. Assyria at that time was world power. Starting from 900 BC. 900 BC. It's around 150 years before Isaiah served as a prophet. Assyria was very, very strong. In that time, it was very strong, but in nowadays, if we use the military power compared with that time, the military power is nothing. Right? And then, you look into the pattern, right? The fall of Assyria in 607 BC. So the strength of Assyrian is almost last 300 years. From 900 BC to 607 BC. And then Assyria was defeated by Babylon. Do you know where is Babylon nowadays? Where is Babylon nowadays? Iraq. So the previous president, Iraq, tried to re-establish the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon, the rise of Babylon in around 600 BC and defeated Assyria, become the world power. And then About 536 BC, the rise of Persia. At the same time, there's another country called Medes, M-E-D-E-S, Madai, and Persia. They are joined force, become a strong country to defeat the Babylon. So when Isaiah served as a prophet, most of the timing is under the shadow of Assyria, the foreign power, the shadow of the attack of the foreign power of Assyria. Oh. Okay? So there are a few points that we understand, right? Isaiah served mainly for the southern kingdom, for 3 to 4 kings, and under the shadow of foreign power of Assyria. Oh. So if we understand this very rough point of the historical background, then it's ready for us to go into chapter 1. We have to move a little faster because in the advanced class, in the graduate class, we drive too slow. So in the end, we drive too fast. Page number 81. Introduction. The author of Isaiah, the prophet of the southern kingdom, lived during the reign of Uzziah, and Joan, and Ahab, and Hezekiah, about 4 kings. He was called in the end year of Uzziah's death, and worked during, well, we already mentioned it, and he was called Messianic prophet. Even Jesus quote and mentioned that in the book of Isaiah had many things talking about his coming, especially after chapter 39. So beautiful verses and so beautiful prophecies recorded in the book of Isaiah. And in the last two chapters is too good to discuss here. Because the last two chapters is talk about heaven. He already foresees the heaven in the sky, in the future. Wonderful, just like a Revelation chapter, last two chapters. And the name of Isaiah means the Lord saves. It's very meaningful. I don't know whether he changed so-called holy name or his original name in this way. Just like some of the preachers previously, they have their own name, right? After become preacher, have John, Peter, James, a lot. And Isaiah, the name is the Lord saves. And the book of Isaiah, generally speaking, can separate into two sections. The first section is chapter 1 to chapter 39. The second section talk about chapter 40 to chapter 66. Mainly these two sections. And some of the more liberal theologians consider the first section was written by Isaiah, but the second section was written by other prophets after Isaiah has died. But we rather to adopt a more conservative view. From chapter 1 to the last chapter are written by same person, Isaiah, because if you go through the whole messages, there are a few important theological terms has been continuously been used in consistency. For example, the Holy One of Israel. This is a very important sentence, the Holy One of Israel. Chapter 1 to chapter 39 use the term for 12 times. And the chapter 40 to 66 use the term for 14 times. So the term has been used 26 times. So you can see the pattern, consistency of the pattern. Of course, there are other considerations make us consider this actually come from the same author. And the main theme of chapter 1 to chapter 39, if we want to sum up in one word, is what? God's justice. And chapter 40 to chapter 66, we sum up into one word, is God's mercy. So God has two important characteristics. One is justice, the second is mercy. So if you look the book of Isaiah as a whole, you can see he is a God of justice. So he judge and punish the Israelite. On the other hand, he is a merciful God. While he was punishing the Israelite, he still showed mercy to them. So this God has two kind of characteristics. So this book itself try to teach us how to imitate God. Yes, you have to hate the sin because of God's justice and righteousness. But we have to have love to the sinner. That's because God's mercy. So these two characters should be balanced. Now we look into B, the book of Isaiah, main theme of chapter 1 to chapter 39. Chapter 1 to chapter 39 mainly focus on God's judgment. Of course, some of the scripture, a small portion of the scripture, focus on some of God's promise and God's comfort. But most of the context are talking about God's judgment and the stubbornness of the Israelite. The crisis Judah faced was not only the threat from Assyria, because most of the people in the time of Isaiah consider the problem of Assyria is the main problem of their daily life. Because Assyria had very strong army tried to come and to attack, to assimilate the Judah. However, if we read the whole text and think about deeper, we can understand the main problem, the main crisis lay far underneath the threat of Assyria is the serial issue of the social injustice and idolatry among the chosen people of Israel. Because their life is immoral, and they do not regard the social justice, and especially they worship the idol. Sin against God a lot. So God allowed the Assyrian become a tool to punishment the Israelites. So Assyrian is an executor of God's wrath about Israel's sin. So they fail to understand the big problem. They only think about very superficial problem. That is the reason they try to resolve their problem in the wrong way. In the wrong way, right? If you have a fever, right, you can eat the Tylenol. But if you look into the label of the Tylenol, they always have some indication. If you use the Tylenol for 2-3 days and your fever did not gone, what do you do? Consult the physician, right? Can you find a Tylenol say after you two, three more days, if you cannot the fever cannot gone, just use double dose. Can you find this kind of Tylenol? Nobody will say so, right? The fever itself is indicating something wrong with your body. Right? So God allowed Assyria to attack them is the indication something wrong between their relationship with God. But they fail to understand this aspect. They try to resolve the superficial issue. So when we learn the book of Isaiah, it tries to open our eye to see the interrelationship between man and God. When you do something, what God is going to do to you? And when you change, what God is going to do to you? So if we know God more, right? You know God more, you know how to build up a good relationship with God. So that is the reason why we learn Isaiah. We are learning Isaiah not because you want to take a good grade. I have 100 points. That is the purpose I learned Isaiah. No. We learn Isaiah, you can learn a teaching. What kind of life we live? Which can please God. If we live another kind of life, what are we going to happen? What is going to happen in our life from God? That's the purpose of learning Isaiah. And he exhorts them to place their confidence in their omnipotent God, and to live a life of justice and righteousness. So for so many times, God sent the prophet to call the Israelite, return, return, repent and repent. Return to me so that you can be saved. Place your confidence to me. I will protect you. I will deliver you. And you have to live a life of justice and righteousness because God is a God of justice and righteousness. Do you know, when you try to make a friend, even though a lot of people are quite nice, but it seems you have different kind of character. So there's a so-called incompatibility, right? The character is different. Sometimes it's very difficult to make a friend. Some people are more outgoing. When they have time, they want to go out, go for shopping, even buying nothing. Window shopping is good enough, right? And some people just like to be quiet. They go back home, even they don't watch TV. They enjoy that quiet moment. They sit down in the couch and thinking about something. Something hoping to happen in the future or 50 years later. So this kind of incompatibility, it's difficult to make a friend, right? But if we know God and we know how to adjust ourselves so that we can have a good relationship with God. So next one. The Israel conveyed the message, Isaiah conveyed the message from the Holy One of Israel. He's the Holy One, holy, clean, pure, glorious, Holy One of Israel, the only one of the God of Israel. So the message is trying to convey to the Israel, to the proud and the stubborn people. They were proud so because they are rebellious to God. They are stubborn because they are unwilling to change. So when we read the book of Isaiah, sometimes we find out, that time of Israelite deserve to be punished. But when you think about one step deeper, who was that group of people? That group of people actually is you and me. We are no better than they are. We are proud, refuse to submit to God. We are stubborn, refuse to change. And the message conveyed to them that God will bless the faithful and punish the faithless. This is chapter 1 to chapter 39. And chapter 40 to chapter 66 talk about God's compassion. God's compassion. Have you ever been in Las Vegas? From LA drive to Las Vegas, the first few hours, we look around two sides. What's that? It's desert, right? Nothing. When you are driving, it's easy to fall asleep. When you are reaching to Las Vegas, right? All of a sudden, wow, the light keep on shining, right? If Las Vegas is heaven, actually it's not heaven, it's a Sodom, Gomorrah, right? If Las Vegas is heaven, and then chapter 1 to chapter 39 is on the way to Las Vegas, and chapter 40 to 60 is almost reached to heaven. It's so wonderful. It's God's compassion, a lot of promise, and a lot of words of comfort. So the Lord promised redemption to the exiled Israel, and the Almighty God, who is in control of history. So when we reach to the later part of you are going to see an invisible ruler of the human history. And this invisible ruler is the Almighty God, who is in control of the history, will deliver and restore the remnant. Remnant is a very biblical term. Before the Bible, did you see in the past 1 year, you have been typing so many email, right? Does any one of you has mentioned about remnant? Raise your hand. Aside from a Bible study, right? So remnant, these words are very biblical. Especially designed to mention about when the Israelites are under captivity and God purposely reserved a small group of them out of God's mercy and in order to bring them to take root downwards and to bear fruit upward. To establish a kingdom again. And that group of people been redeemed by God and called remnant.
And God is going to restore the remnant of his chosen people. And Isaiah even prophesies the coming of servant of the Lord and the establishment of his glorious kingdom. So little part, when you reach to 40 to 66, you almost can see it's talking about not the issue in that generation. It's talking about something spiritual. It's talking about the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom of the Lord. So Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, actually been sometimes been considered you have learned the synoptic gospel, right? The four gospel, and Isaiah is one of them in the Old Testament. A lot of good news. Okay. The prophecy of Isaiah. We are going to talk about that after we go through all the chapters. We are going to come back and have an eye, have a view, from high view, we look into the whole book as a whole, and sum up a few important points. Historical background, we will mention that one by one. Number D, page A2, number D. The outline of Isaiah. Chapter 1 to chapter 39 is the book of judgment. Chapter 40 to 66, the book of comfort. And from chapter 1 to chapter 39, it can be categorized into several subtopics. Seven subtopics. Chapter 1 to chapter 6, the judgment against Judah. Chapter 7 to 12, the judgment against Israel. Chapter 13 to 23, the judgment against the nations. Chapter 24 to 27, the judgment and promise, restoration of remnant. And chapter 28 to 33, the six woes. Five focus on the unfaithful of Israel, and one on Assyria. And chapter 34 to 35, the prophecy of judgment and promise. And chapter 36 to 39 is a historical transition from Assyria threat to Babylonian exile. These four chapters actually is giving us some kind of historical introduction, which had been recorded in Second Chronicle. And book two, Book of Comfort, chapter 40 to 66, the deliverance and restoration of Israel, from 40 to 48. And 49 to 55, the servant's ministry. The servant means servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ's ministry, and Israel's restoration. 56 to 66, everlasting deliverance and everlasting judgment. 56, 66, reach to heaven already. So this is the outline of the book of Isaiah. We still have 10 more minutes. Let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, the weakness of Judah. The weakness mentioned from verse 1 to verse 6. And verse 7 to verse 9 talk about the remnant in desolation of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in desolation. The main reason, if we read this few paragraphs, the main reason we know that
the Israelites are still rebellion to God and care nothing about God. Main reason, because they fail to understand God's love. They have no compassion to God at all. So God's sign, verse 2, hear, O heaven, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. Israelite has rebelled against God. Verse 3, the oxen know his master, the donkey his own manger, but the Israelite does not know. My people does not understand. So God feels very frustrated. He compared with the people raising the oxen and donkey. Maybe you don't. Do you have an experience of raising oxen and donkey? No, right? You are not living in agriculture age. But I know some of you in your home, you have what? You have cat, you have dog, you have mouse, right? You have turtle. Some of you maybe have snake, right? Your pets. But when you go home, what do your pets show to you? Your dog will come and waving the tail, right? And come and licking you, right? And your mouth, the cat, the same thing. Or come and sometimes you sit in the sofa, the cat will come and sit beside you, right? To accompany you. So you know, when you raise this kind of pets, there's an interreaction. Well, when the pet they welcome you, you feel very happy, right? If you raise a cat and raise a dog, you go back home, they just don't care about you. What are you going to do? Just kick him out, let him go, right? Or let him fast for a few days. So you know how wonderful I am. But for the Israelite, God feels very sad, right? Because everything was given, they have was given by God. Their life, they were led into the land of honey and milk, and they have been blessed with everything in prosperity. But they consider it as nature. They take it for granted. So they never fail to understand the love of God, even though they're living under the abundant grace of God. So they show no affection to God, and God feels so angry, because Israel was so cold to him, so indifferent to him. And that is the reason now they start to gone astray. They have never have a heart of appreciation, and never try to say something to show something to God about their love. So verse 4 to verse 6, talking about verse 4 to verse 6, especially verse 4. A sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoer, and children given to corruption. And they have forsaken the Lord, and they have spurned the Holy One of the Israelites, and turned their back on him. Since they have sinned against God, what happened? Verse 5, verse 6, right? All their body was bruised, because they were beaten by the Heavenly Father. Their head is injured, their heart afflicted. And the sole of the feet to the top of the head. And there is no soundness. In today's term, how do you describe the person? Everywhere is bending, right? From the top to the bottom, everywhere is bending. When you look at a person like that, how do you feel? You must live in a family of what? Your parents have child abuse. They beat you from top to the bottom, right? But the Israelite was punished by God from the top to the bottom. And before the older one healed, the new one keep on coming. What does that try to say? Even though they are in suffering, but they fail to learn something from their suffering. Even though they are in suffering, they fail to turn back so that God will never punish them more. So why do they do so? Because they are stubbornness. They refuse to change. And verse 7 to 9, talk about the desolation of Jerusalem. Original Jerusalem was a beautiful city, the holy city, and then later on God allowed the foreign country to attack them. All the area surrounding the Zion city, all the surrounding area have become desolated. Verse 9. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survival, we would have become like a Sodom and we would have become like a Gomorrah. This verse has been quoted in the book of Romans. Because of God's mercy, he reserved a remnant. Let me ask you a question. When you see a lot of cat and the ant go into your home, what do you do? What did you do? You kill them all, or you purposely reserve some remnant. Just keep two, so that it will not be extinguished in my home. Does anybody do so? Nobody do so, right? When you see the ant, kill everyone. After you kill everyone, you keep on looking, is there any other place? Right? If we are God, right? There will be no remnant. They are going to kill everyone and looking for anywhere high in any place, kill them all. So God is different from ours. So he purposely reserved some revival. So in the future they can survive. In the future they can revive. This verse 1, 7 to 9.